Lynette Crowe Iverson, thank you so much for coming down to the studio. Why are you running?
Great. Thank you so much for having me. I am running for city council because I believe that Colorado Springs is in a great place for opportunity right now. We have great momentum with the great leadership of John Suthers, our mayor. And I just feel like a business person on city council would just add value to the opportunities that we have ahead of us.
Great. How would you characterize District 5 where you're running?
So District 5 is a very large district, and it starts, you know, I-25 and Fillmore and, you know, goes east. And so we have, I think, a really good mix of both parties, probably all three different parties. We have people who love downtown and want to live downtown and love that eclectic type of living. And then we have people out east who want more of the urban and more of the blue sky living. So we have a really great mix. And then in between, you know, we have a more of an older district, more of an older part of the district. And so I think that there's a lot of potential in our district.
And how would you describe the people who live there, your constituencies there?
I've been doing a lot of walking and a lot of knocking, and I have found District 5 to be a very warm and open group of people. I have had nothing but kind people, regardless of the belief systems that we may have. They've all been very, just very nice, hardworking people that just want jobs and economy and a safe place to live and, you know, pretty much the same thing that every American family wants.
Have you been surprised by anything as you're meeting people? Have you learned anything new?
I haven't, actually. I find that I have a lot in common with everything. I think for me, what the surprise was is the difference of the neighborhoods, where in the neighborhood I live in, transit is a great concern, buses and bus routes and pros and cons on that. And then on the east side of my district, it's more jobs and economy and just, you know, making sure that we can keep our kids, you know, in great schools and learning. And so it's just the different types of neighborhoods have different concerns that are all very valid to their neighborhood.
And how long have you lived in District 5?
For 8 years.
Okay. And what do you think are the biggest issues facing Colorado Springs as a whole?
Right now, the biggest issue is stormwater. We, you know, have been sued by the EPA for, I believe, $460 million. And now, as of last week, Pueblo has joined that lawsuit. And we've just neglected it for so long because of a downturn in economy and a plethora of reasons that I won't go into. But I think stormwater right now is the biggest issue facing Colorado Springs. We have to find a long-term solution. I know on the ballot there will be a question on Tabor asking the citizens to refund that $6 to $8 million back to the city for stormwater, and I will support that.
And so you said in your district there are some other issues, transportation and jobs. Do you think that the stormwater issue takes precedence over those?
At this time right now, I think it does. I think that those are all very important. We always need to work on our economic development. We always want to make sure that we have jobs. That's an ongoing issue. That's an ongoing concern. But the immediate issue for the city right now, if instance of immediate issues, would be stormwater.
And you said it'll be important to have a business person on council if you were to be elected. What do you think you could bring to that issue as someone with experience in business?
Considering I started my own business from the bottom up, and I understand the hard times. I understand what it's like when you have to cut budgets and where it's important to cut budgets and where it's important to not and when to put the pedal on. Brings just a different view to city council when we have these issues long term. How are we going to put measures in place so that in a downturn we still can afford our stormwater, we can still afford our fire and our police and continue to add for the safety of the citizens? I think it's just a different checks and balances perspective, high level perspective, rather than getting in the weeds of the day to day that city administration's job. I think that city council is just overview, is just a big overview of how that looks. And I bring that expertise to the table. I did run the Yes to C campaign. So that was a lot of fun, and it was very needed.
Can you just talk a little bit about what 2C is?
So 2C is the tax measure that the citizens passed in 2015 to fix the potholes. So that was a 5-year tax that sunsets in 5 years, and they're able to get the strands of roads that we've neglected. So we're backtracking. We're getting all the roads that were neglected completely patched so that we can then find solutions moving forward.
Mayor Suthers, a lot of the time he'll mention that we're the 40th biggest city in the country and that we need to act like it. How do you think we can do that?
I think we're actually starting to. Watching, you know, the Olympic Museum come out of the ground in the Springs, the other two projects for C4C getting coming up, and with
C4C,
the
City for
Champions. We have the Air Force Academy Visitor Center that's going to, you know, in the next few years come up. You've got the partnership with UCCS and Penrose Hospital for the, and now it's a sports event, sports high altitude sports center that's going to go at UCCS, and Bill Hibble will be the name of that building. And we're already seeing a lot of construction going on. You see the hospitals are going up. You know, that means there's workforce. That means there's, you know, a need. You know, all the signs and symptoms are there. I just think it's an exciting time, and I do think that we will be a mid-weight level city in no time.
Do you see any places where last term city council fell short?
That's a tough one. I just have to think back. I think for the most part, you know, they do the best they can. I was disappointed that the 211 wasn't funded with United Way as quickly as it could be. That was disappointing, considering that that's like a lifeline for our most vulnerable. And without 211, they go to 911. And so our police and fire are already taxed significantly. And so I think that I was disappointed to see that can get kicked down the road as far as it did, considering that that's just a lifeline for those who just need, you know, that one measure. They're not homeless yet. You know, they just need a little bit of help. And so I think that was a disappointment that that's been kicked down the road a little longer than expected.
Do you think there's an imbalance between sales tax and property tax? And when is it appropriate to raise taxes?
I do believe there's an imbalance. 8% of property tax goes to the city budget, just 8%. And the city is, you know, solely run on sales tax. And so when we have a downturn in the economy, that's what hit the city hard, and that's where, you know, certain things like our infrastructure is neglected. You know, polls that the city has ran the citizens don't really like a property sales tax. I think we just need to educate them a little bit more about what that looks like, because 8% of your property tax going to the city isn't really that much money, considering we have a very low property sales tax in Colorado Springs. So I do think there's a pretty big gap there, but it's just going to take a lot of education.
And how do we prepare as a city for the ratchet down effect of Tabor?
That's a very good question, and I haven't dug into that as much as I would like to. I think something definitely needs to be done. We definitely need to look at that, or as the economy continues to grow, every year there's going to be more ask for, you know, a refund back to the city. And so it's great in low economic times, but it's, you know, hard in high economic times. So I think there needs to be some adjustments there. But again, I haven't done a ton of research on how that, I mean, it's very complicated formula on how they got there in the first place. So I'm not even sure the assessor knows how he's coming up with the numbers to go to the city to say, okay, here's your Tabor refund. So I definitely have to educate myself more on that. But I do think that we need to really look at that. And certain legislation's put in times when there's certain needs, but we do outgrow those needs, like a hospital provider fee. You know, had that been an enterprise, you know, would we have more towards transportation and higher education? At the time, things seem to be, you know, legislation is put in for the time of the economy and how people are feeling at the time. And I think that, you know, as we move 10 years ahead or 20 years ahead, we have to re-look at those pieces of legislation and say, okay, that was great for that time. Is it great for this time? And would it better serve our city if we looked at that a little bit different. So I think, you know, we do need to educate ourselves on that, but it ultimately has to go to a vote of the people and should.
Lynette Crowe Iverson, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.